Every morning, I feed the cats and glance at some daily readings, including my daily Stoic, selected sayings from the ancient Roman philosophers. Have you heard about this? The Stoics, Marcus Aurelius, Seneca, and Epictetus, are having quite an afterlife. I like their core thinking, which, very simply put, is live virtuously and have the wisdom to know the things you can't control. That part reminds me a little of the 12 steps. Well, it turns out CEOs like Jeff Bezos and Warren Buffett, rapper T-Pain, former Defense Secretary James Mattis have all become followers. And for millions of others, there are podcasts, TED Talks, YouTube channels, daily emails. It's quite a movement. Now, we know a smaller offshoot of followers, mostly right-wing men, are using Stoicism to not take responsibility for everything from inequity to misogyny and racism. Vice reports on a man in Europe who was fired for using a racial slur. He sued, saying he was just practicing his religion, Stoicism, which means he can't control other people's reactions to his words. Oh, no. Our next guest says that is not Stoicism. So what is? Let's bring in Yale Classics and Philosophy Professor Brad Inwood. Professor, welcome.
Nice to be here.
People take years-long courses on this. You've studied it, I understand, in Latin.
But Latin and Greek.
Oh, boy. Well, briefly, we know the first Stoics were Greeks, but a lot of their writings are gone. So much remains of the Roman Stoics. Tell us, who were they and what were their core beliefs?
Well, Stoicism, I guess they, if there was a short phrase which captures what they believed in, it was the importance of nature. You describe their motto as following virtue is the way to live. The way they put it was actually follow nature. We have an intimate connection with the natural environment, and we're supposed to enhance it and support it, just as we have an intimate connection with other human beings and other rational creatures. And being active in promoting those values is part of the natural life.
Don't worry about things beyond your control.
So that idea of distinguishing between things that are under your control and things that are not under your control and making that the foundation of clear thinking about your life, that's actually not Stoicism in general. That's particularly Epictetus. His idea was that it was really important to understand we can't do all kinds of things, but there's lots of things we can do because our minds we can control. So in focusing on doing things that are going to be rational successes, what it's focusing on is you can't guarantee success. Distinguishing what you can control and what you can't control is about how you react to a failure. Mm-hmm. It's not about whether or not you should try. It's about how you should respond when things don't go exactly as you would wish. And of course, that's going to happen as soon as you engage with the world.
Some of the criticism of the modern day interpretation, this idea, well, I just can't do anything, is that the Stoics would have evolved. I mean, back then, they had a terrible plague. Nothing they could do about it. But today, they might have been the first to rationally say, hey, let's get some vaccines.
They absolutely would. And the point about distinguishing between what you can control and what you can't doesn't really address the question of how much effort you should make. Say you want to develop a vaccine. You can't guarantee success. Maybe your lab won't find the vaccine. Then you're not going to decide it was a mistake to try. Trying is in your control. Succeeding is up in the air.
Some today are interpreting that as, you know, world poverty, climate change, beyond my control. And, you know, scholars are saying they lived in a different time. You have to put it in the context of what some of the things were they felt they could not control. I mean, there was obviously war.
Right. Stoicism can't be an excuse for not taking action. In fact, in the ancient world, of all the ancient philosophical schools around, the Stoics were the most engaged with trying to make a positive difference in the world.
It seems like that's what I think Seneca especially is saying. It's not the destination, it's the journey.
Well, I think that's a good way to summarize it. He didn't really invent that idea. That goes back to the earliest days of the school.
And I'm just going to list some of the things that others have said as they try to encapsulate this. Have kinship towards other humans. Don't whine or gossip. Rehearse all the bad things that could happen to us, including death.
Well, the Stoics, like many other ancient schools of philosophy, did think it was important for people to have an appropriately detached attitude towards death. Death was something that could come to anybody at any time. There was a lot of plagues and disease around. So having a good attitude towards death was an important feature in living your life.
And what about emotion? You know, we think we know the word Stoic, even if you don't know this new modern Stoic movement. You know, we think of Stoic as someone who, without emotion, faces life challenges. And that's another criticism in some quarters that some modern Stoics are instead using it to discourage emotion. My wonderful surgeon is a Stoic practicing the new movement, and he knows that I'm dabbling in it. And when he told me I might have to have another surgery after the stupid fall I took, you know, he said, now be a Stoic. Don't see this as something happening to you. See this as something, you know, a miracle that's there for you. I thought that was wonderful, and I'm going to do that. But also, I got a little glimpse at there's no room to be sad, you know, about maybe having to have another surgery. And that's the criticism of some of this modern Stoicism, that it's this man-up thing. What did the Stoics really believe?
One of the tricky things here is this word that we translate as emotion. It's coming from a Greek word that is actually somewhat better translated as passion. Now, what is a passion as opposed to an emotion? If I have a feeling of affection for my wife or my children, that's an emotion. Stoics had no problem with that. A passion is a violent emotion that you have no control over. So if I am angry with somebody and lose perspective and say things that I regret, that's a passion. So getting rid of all your passions means not getting rid of emotions, but controlling them. Nothing wrong with love, nothing wrong with caution. Fear that you can't control that makes you kind of melt and get disorganized, that's a passion, and that's what they're against.
What about grief? Because Petrarch wrote what seemed like a response, and he seemed to be saying, for instance, when it came to the plague, no, there's no rational meaning for a plague upon our people. And sometimes you just have to weep.
Yes. So grief is a really tough case because part of their notion of accepting what nature gives you involves coming to terms with the death of a loved one. Grief is the rational response, we would think. But an ancient Stoic would have thought the death of a spouse, a child, a parent, is just part of the natural flow of things. And letting your response to that get out of control, they did think was irrational. Well, here's the other thing about ancient Stoicism that really changes our assessment of what they were up to. They also thought that the world was providentially structured by a rational, benevolent force, nature, God. And if you think not just that the world is rational, but that it's structured by a benevolent force, then there's an extra reason not to beat your head against the wall when something bad happens. So when Petrarch says there's no meaning, if there's a plague that kills, you know, a million people in the last 2 years, that's going to be seen differently by an ancient Stoic. They wouldn't accept that there was no meaning to it.
What do you think the modern Stoics are getting right?
Oh, that's very interesting. Some of the modern Stoics that are really doing important good work are those who emphasize the importance of bringing articulate, self-conscious, rational thought to bear on the problems you face in your life, using your rationality in connection with an appreciation of nature to improve your life. A lot of modern Stoics are focusing on that. And as you've reminded me, a lot of people aren't. I wouldn't want to lump both groups together. I think there's two very different things going on.
Yeah.
One of the first things I read when I was starting to engage with Stoicism when I was a very young man was an article in the Atlantic Monthly by Admiral James Stockdale, who was, as you may know, was a fighter pilot in the Vietnam War and was shot down and was a prisoner of war. He attributed his psychological survival in those horrendous conditions to the fact that he had studied Epictetus when he was a student at Stanford. And I think that connection between the kind of intellectual self-control and survival in tough times, the connection of that to Stoicism and to the military, does go back a long way. One of the lessons they teach is the importance of personal integrity. The desire to make a positive impact in the world and the desire at the same time to preserve your integrity presents people with dilemmas all the time.
You remind us that Seneca was a tutor to the spoiled brat Emperor Nero. So he had his struggles there. That's Yale Professor of Classics and Philosophy, Brad Inwood. Professor, thank you so much.
Well, thank you.